Okay? Everybody hear me okay? Yes? It's really far to the back of the room. My name is Jerry Carter. I used to have blonde hair. I had shaved head at one time. I've done all sorts of things. So if I come back next year, then who knows what I'll look like. So my current responsibilities with Samba is as the release manager. So what I'll talk about today is I will build on the information that Tridge gave on Samba 4. I'll talk about some of the other immediate plans for Samba 3.0 and some of the side projects that we have as well. So I have about 20 slides. We should have plenty of time for questions if anybody has questions or suggestions or ideas that we could add to our roadmap. As long as we have volunteers to take up the work, that shouldn't be a problem. The slides themselves are available at that URL. I've also sent that URL to Volker, so I believe we're going to post that on CIRNET's site or somewhere. So those are available. Just basically what we're going to look at today. Start off with a little bit. This is my vague attempt at humor, and I guess if I have to tell you that I'm trying to be funny, it's really more pathetic than funny. But I think that as far as a release manager, as far as Samba goes, it's more like being tied to the back of a car and sort of just running along the back. You can't really make the car turn. You can just kind of wave and hope that somebody sees you and slows down or speeds up. So a lot of the development of Samba is done when people get excited about what's happening. The work that Tridge has done in Samba 4, the work that Jeremy has been doing, with the extended attribute support, a lot of the work that Volker's been doing and Andrew Bartlett and Simo, a lot of the things that individuals are doing really drive the development of Samba more so than what we say we're going to do 12 months from now. I used to play in a band, and so when you get together in a rock band, you never say we're going to have practice at 2 p.m. every Wednesday. You say, well, I think we'll try to get together and we'll try to play some music sometime. And generally people show up about a half an hour late, but at least they show up. And so Samba development is really driven by the people that are willing to do the work. It's not corporate software where you have somebody beating you over the head. If we don't have anybody to do the work, obviously the stuff we put up here doesn't get done. So this is just a time frame. Samba has been around for about 12 or 13 years at this point. About as long, I guess, as the Linux kernel. They were started in the same time. The most recent incarnation of Samba was September of last year, right? So about 6 months ago. It's been a pretty good release. Now, if you look at this time frame, what you'll see is that we end up spending about 24 months on a major release. We did Samba 2.0 in 1999. We did Samba 2.2 in version, in 2001, 2003, Samba 3. Right now we're looking, and I'll talk about this later, but we're looking at the next major version, hopefully by the end of this year. What this slide doesn't really tell you is that Samba development is much more fluid. Aren't these defined cutoff points where you go, alright, all of a sudden now this is version 2.2. It basically gets to the point where, as Tridge talked about, we have a large change set that needs to go in, and it's going to take us about 3 or 4 months to settle the code down before people can literally run it again. And so we decide to make this break. That doesn't mean that we don't put new features in to 3.0. I've given up on that idea. We do. So you will see, as we talk about 3.0.3, you will actually see that we've added some more features in that as well. Hopefully ones that you'll like and hopefully ones that are usable. Can you guys see this in the back, or is the font? The font's a little light. See it okay? You can actually get NB Server, which was the first version of Samba that I could actually find anywhere. We have copies of this on samba.org. And you can actually still download that. The sad thing is it doesn't actually compile anymore with GCC 3.3. It complains about a header file, because I tried. Do what? Oh, is there really?
Copy of the original source code in the first week, December 91. I looked that up from the server on the web file.
So this feels almost like ancient Egypt, right? When you find the pharaoh of the next tomb, you know, King Tut's tomb. The interesting thing about this, if you actually look at it, and this is, I guess, more geek trivia, we have more lines of code in our autocomp test and in our parameter file than we had in the entire early versions of Samba by, you know, a good 50%. So, this is historical fact at this point. As of April the 4th, we have swapped from using CVS to using Subversion. So the CVS trees still exist, but they are no longer being updated. So if you're looking at, if you need to look at earlier code from CVS, you can still get to it. However, like I said, as of Sunday, Tridge said, let's move to Subversion while Jeremy's on the plane. We'll tell him when he gets here. And so we actually did. It worked out very, very smooth. So we have, I guess, did it work out smooth for you, Jeremy? Yeah, he didn't whine as much as I thought he would. I was really surprised. It could have been jet lag. But I guarantee if you go to see Jeremy talk and Tridge is not there, Jeremy will say, let me tell you about the time when they just kicked me out. It's almost, see, doing open source really is like being in a rock band. Every good rock movie starts with the musician getting kicked out. So we have branches up. These are available anonymously. There is some information already posted up on samba.org for accessing that. So why would you want to look at the CVS trees that we have anyways? Obviously, the work going on in Samba 4, if you want to get involved with that. There will always be bug fixes post-release. So if there are bugs in 302A that we've already committed in CVS and you'd like to pull those back, those are always openly available. Samba development is it's very loose, and it's very much based on a model where people are trusted to do the right thing on the area of the code that they're working on. We have a very small team of core developers. We have about 6 active core developers, and I think they're actually all here. We have about 4 times that many that are actually members of what we call the Samba team. The Samba team is a loose organization that's defined by having write access to the source code. Okay, that's all it is. You don't have to pay dues. You don't have to, you know, pledge allegiance to the Australian flag or anything like that. You just have to be able to write to the source code. Although Tridge tried to get us to do that at one point, probably. But we have about another probably 4 or 5 people on the Samba technical list that I would consider to be active. We continually get bug fixes from them for various platforms, new features. We get code from them. So, you know, we're still talking less than a dozen people that work on Samba, which is I think a fairly small crowd considering the install base that we have. What that does mean is that it's much easier to coordinate development, and it's much easier to move forward. It's not like the Linux kernel list where you know how the Linux kernel list is, so I won't go there. Technical discussions, if you're interested in getting involved in this, the technical mailing list is a good place to start. IRC is a good place to start for individual conversations as well. However, that doesn't, if you want to coordinate among a large number of people, the mailing lists are much better. We tend to have a lot of individual and conference calls as well. I have a really good international calling plan. It's the time zone that's really hard. We have conference calls, I think midnight in Germany, and it's about 11 p.m. in Germany, 3 p.m. in the States, and that's about 9 a.m. the next day in Australia. So you have to coordinate that. But this is how our development works, and I think a lot of it is sort of born out of how Tridge initially did development. So it's kind of his brainchild, and it works very well for us. It's different than other projects, but it works pretty well. So just a couple of more points before we move on. To actually look at what will be up in the upcoming features, okay, or the upcoming releases. What are some of the challenges that we face? The challenges that we face are that there are a large number of developers that double as systems administrators. And as systems administrators that run Samba, I worked for a university for several years where I did the same thing, and I think we ran a CVS version of 1.9.18, some alpha version, for a long time as a Samba domain controller. Even after I left, they were kind of afraid to replace it. But we find that we do things, as developers, because we have write access, we find that very often people will come up with some local hack or quick fix for their situation. And more often than not, sometimes that will actually get checked into the code tree. So once it's actually released, then we end up having to support it essentially until the end of the world. That's why our man page is longer than the bash man page, I believe. In fact, I do believe that 30% of John's book is the man page, the SMB.conf man page. You can take a look and see. So some things that have come up in the past, the non-Unix accounts. Did anybody use the non-Unix accounts in some of the 3.0 alpha releases? Yes, I know Andrew did because he checked it in. That is one of the features that we found would be hard to maintain and eventually got pulled before the final 3.0 release. However, WinBind used default domain. How many people have used that at some point? Several people. This has had several regressions, particularly when it comes to secondary group membership, so we've had to fix, but people find it useful so that if we'd been able to turn back time and do it again, it might not have actually gotten checked into the code, but now that it is, we have to support it. So we have to be careful about this. Backwards compatibility is always difficult. We do our best to provide forward upgrade paths. So if you're running Samba 2.2 and you upgrade to Samba 3, or you're running Samba 3 and you want to upgrade to Samba 3.125 or whatever it will be called, we will provide, you know, a seamless way to upgrade from old versions to new versions, but we generally don't provide a way to downgrade, okay? So that's just, you know, you need to be aware of that as far as looking forward and deploying servers and things like that. We generally maintain the features which we use. However, it is impossible to test every feature that's in Samba. I believe probably one of the features that has probably suffered from bit rot at this point is the ability to look up server names in NIST auto mount maps. Does anybody use that? I have a patch for it, but things that don't, my point is things that don't get tested end up being broken. So if there's a feature that you are interested, that is, that you do use very regularly, then it's to your benefit to test that early on and to let us know throughout the development process if something happens, if it gets broken. VMware does provide us all with licenses, which makes it really wonderful to test. The one thing that we don't all have licenses for is all the Microsoft operating systems. So developing an entire test environment to cover all the cases tends to be extremely difficult. So these are the challenges that we face. Now, 3.0 major features. How many people have not looked at Samba 3.0 at this point? Anyone? I'm assuming everybody has. So I won't actually go over the slide. It's really more for summary. The major features in Samba 3.0 were the Kerberos support, the Unicode support. There were lots of other things that got added in. The ability to migrate from NC4 domains to a Samba 3 domain. You know, there were some nice things that were added in there as well. We found the 3.0 to release, at least from the mailing list, to be fairly stable. We've had some problems with some of the LDAP backend support, some of the variable substitution, people going, it didn't used to work like this, but now it does, or this used to work and now it doesn't. So I think by 3.02a, which was released around Valentine's Day, the stability is pretty good. So where do we go from here? One of the first things we did after moving to Subversion is we cut the second preview release of Samba 3.03. So that was released yesterday or late last night. We've released some RPMs. It does have bug fixes. It has new features. So some of these features that will be included in the final 3.03 release that will hopefully be out by the end of this month are, we will fix, obviously, there was a couple of seg faults in printing code that needed to be fixed. We will also add support for storing DOS attributes in extended attributes if the file system will support them. That means that you can set the read-only bit on folders, not the read-only Unix permission bit, but the DOS attribute bit. You can set the archive bit on directories. Previously, we can only do this on files. So this is helps us with our semantics with Windows clients and helps solve some bizarre issues with Windows clients. Other support is for extended attributes for OS 2 and OS 10 clients, Mac OS 10 or OS X, depending on how you call it. Password lockout support. Interesting, apparently we claimed that it worked before, which is why we had to go back and implement it now. It does seem to be working fairly well, so you can set that policy. By default, it's turned off, but if you want to set the policy that says lock out this user after three failed login attempts or six login attempts, then then that will be, you know, that will be supported in Samba 303 on standalone servers as well as domain controllers. Support for nested groups. This is the Windows local groups or aliases where you can store Windows groups within a Unix group, and we will expand that automatically. That will require WinBind, but that will be checked in, I think, before the end of the conference as well if you want to test that. So those are some of the new features that will be in 303. Beyond that, it's hard to see. We will just continue to fix bugs. We might end up having to pull back some features as well, but right now we just plan on bug fixes. So Samba 3. Started off as Samba 3.1. Tridge proposed 3.5. Apparently there was a memo about 4 years ago that said we should use the kernel versioning system, right? So odd numbers. So 3.1 would be an unstable development release. 3.2 would be the actual stable release. I thought I was the only one that didn't get the memo, but apparently Tridge didn't get it either. So Jeremy swore that he told everybody that this is what we were going to do. So this is what we will do. Okay, so this is the official stance. This is what we will do. Once we pull back the necessary code from Samba 4 into Samba, into the head Samba branch now, where it's actually called trunk, once we pull that back, we should begin unstable development releases, hopefully by the end of June, possibly sooner. So these will be Samba 3.1. Whatever. And we'll have to make sure that everybody knows these are development releases. These are not actually stable releases. Then we will begin the 3.2.0 release, which will actually be considered to be stable. We'll still go through a beta release process and release candidates like we did for 3.0. But hopefully by the end of the year, which this is the plan, we will have the features that Tridge just talked about previously. We will have those pulled back, and we will have what other features we are planning to put into 3.2 will be out and be stable and be ready for use by the end of the year. Okay, but start looking for the 3.1 releases coming out in a couple of months. Okay, we'll get through the end of this month, get 3.03 out, and then we'll begin to push forward, I think, with a lot of intensity on 3.1. The features, Tridge mentioned these, so, you know, this is the low-hanging fruit from Samba 4. This is the stuff that is already done that we want to bring back into Samba 4 that should give us a lot of infrastructure to do the things that we want to do. This is the first goal to do. Once we have this code pulled back and working, then the next thing that we'll do is actually start looking at the other features that people have been interested in, that people have been wanting to work on. I put these as possible or probable. Some of them have more of a high degree of being implemented than others. For example, the internationalization work is actually being done by a group in Japan. They've been doing a lot of regression tests and automated tests to make sure that support for Japanese character sets works and Unicode. And there's been lots of discussion on the mailing list. They've been sending this code as well. We have already gotten some support for NT privileges in the current head branch right now. It needs some more work, but apparently it is actually doing what it's supposed to do. So we will continue to look at that and continue to enhance it and hopefully get that in 3.2 as well. The ability to act as a BDC for Windows PDC, even a mixed mode domain, we should be able to hopefully get that into 3.2. But again, the first thing is to pull all the features back from Samba 4 that we are requiring be in the release, and then we'll continue to work on this, you know, as we have resources, as people have time, and as people have interest. One of the things that we would like to pull back but is unsure of how much work it's going to be is to not only pull back the RPC client infrastructure from Samba 4, but to pull back the RPC server infrastructure from Samba 4 as well. And this is being able to auto-generate the stub code to handle the server-side RPC calls using IDL. It would be, I've worked in the printing code for several years now, and it is extremely painful to track down bugs, and we're still finding bugs. I found there was you know, RPC marshaling bugs and alignment bugs that I was trying to track down even last week, and this code has been called stable for 2 to 3 years. So we're still finding those. So moving to IDL would give us a lot more efficient means of doing development, but it's unknown at this time how much work it would actually be to pull that back. But we're going to try it. Volker and I are both extremely interested in it. Once we get the Samba 3.5 proposal met and we get those features pulled back, then we'll start looking at some of these other things. Redesign of user and group management. This is something that we've talked about, we've debated about for about 2 or 3 years as well. And what we're going to do is we're going to try to make it easy to explain how it works, easy to install, and easy to manage, and cover all the cases that we still need to. So no regression of functionality from what we have in Samba 3, but make it easier to explain to people, because we found that when people try to write books or people try to teach tutorials or people try to consult and they go on site and they try to explain how it works, it's been hard for us to explain because we aren't always consistent in how we handle users and groups and things like that. So we're going to try to clean that up some as well. And then we have a lot of NAS vendors and companies that support Samba developers, maybe not full-time, but a lot that use Samba in their products and will continue to integrate features and bug fixes as we get from that. So the bottom line is that we have a small development team that's committed to work on these features, but what really makes a release successful is the response that we get back from the community as well. It cannot be done by just 3 or 4 people. And so I think that we've got more people interested and more momentum going, but there's always a place if you have something that you want to do, you have ideas, there's always a place to do that. Samba 4, I'm not going to go over this because obviously I couldn't do any better than Tridge, and I think he did an excellent job, and that would just be redundant. As far as Active Directory domain controller support, this has been an ongoing project that a couple of developers have looked at. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say there's a talk this afternoon that's actually going to address these in a very technical manner and what some of the roadblocks have been. So all I can say to you is that we are aware of the issues. We are looking at it. It is not something that's slated for Samba 3.2. And in fact, it's not something that we've committed to deliver for Samba 4 either, because there are people working on the problem, but there has been no definite time of when it could be completed or would be completed, or even if there's technical hurdles that we can't actually jump. So Jim McDonough will do a talk on that this afternoon, I believe around 4 p.m. So I'm just going to refer to you for Active Directory questions to talk to him. But that's not on the roadmap for the next major release later this year. Okay? Some of the other side projects that are related to Samba but are not specific to the Samba server code is this initiative or this idea that what we would really like to do is to be able to have control of a very strong and mature and stable SIFS client ourselves. Right now, our only option, if Microsoft changes something in the Windows clients, is to change our server to behave correctly with their client. That's our only option because we don't have any control over the client. We have, at this point, we have 2 very large possibilities with OS X, as well as some of the work funded by IBM that Steve French has done, the SIFS VFS Linux file system that's included in 2.6 as a replacement for SMBFS. So at this point, this would give us, although we don't have direct control over Apple, obviously, their developers have been very open to working with us. So this gives us the ability to influence the development direction of 2 very stable and solid and mature and modern client file systems. So then we are able to make changes in the client that Samba can provide enhanced functionality for. So this is what we're hoping for, and this is what we're working on. This has been implemented by the Unix extensions work that I think was originally specified by HP. Jeremy went back in and implemented it last year, correct? This was even before 3.0 came out. It is enabled by default in the SIFS VFS. I think it's enabled by default in OS X. Is that correct, Jeremy? Don't know. We're not sure. But it gives you the ability to do lots of interesting things that you couldn't necessarily do directly with a Windows server itself. The ability to use SIFS, or this is our goal. Our goal is to be able to use SIFS, the SMB protocol, from one Unix host to another Unix host as a replacement for NFSv4. Not that we want to compete or overrun NFSv4, but we want it to be that level of acceptance. We want it to be sort of this primary file sharing protocol that could be used between Unix clients anyways. Okay? Longhorn is somewhat of a mystery. Microsoft has done development releases of that you can actually download, but they've included something in Longhorn called WinFS, which is this vague description of being layered on top of NTFS, We're not sure if it's going to be SMB. It's most likely going to be database driven. It might just change the playing field entirely. Microsoft would love to regain control of the protocol and sort of lock Samba out. But Longhorn is, you know, 2007. But we're even now trying to look at what the future holds, being more proactive in how we deal with upcoming Windows releases and service packs, rather than just being reactive and going, oh, Microsoft just released Windows XP Service Pack 3. Oh, something broke. Now we have to fix it. We're trying to be more proactive in looking at early releases and early Windows and Service Pack releases and being able to ensure that Samba will work with those once the final release is actually cut. Okay? Other team activities that are going on, if you look on Samba.org, although we converted to Subversion, we still have a number of modules that exist within CVS. One of these that that you may have seen and wondered what is that is a CVS module called Lorikeet. Apparently it's an Australian bird. But what it is a CVS repository for maintaining patches to deal with interoperability issues between other Windows services. Okay, so for example, NTLM SSP patches for CyberSizzle and Heimdall, which apparently the Heimdall patch has been integrated into the actual tree at this point. But it's more of a clearinghouse for patches until they get integrated into the main tree. So if you're interested in interoperability between other Unix services, not just Samba, but using Microsoft protocols, this would be of interest to you, of value to you to check out. There's another CVS module that's called Sangria, which is essentially a Python framework for managing and generating Samba configurations. The idea to be able to have the manager server GUIs that Windows has for the small 50 to 100 user domains where they don't want to understand the ins and outs of Samba. They don't want to have to open a debugger to figure out why WinBind didn't start. They just want to be able to install it, you know, RPMs or devs or whatever, and then run a GUI to set it up, and it just works. So, you know, this really echoes the things that Tridge said about Samba 4, wanting to make it easier to install, wanting to make it easier to manage. You know, this is an ongoing effort. So if you're interested in those types of activities and you like Python or Python GTK, a lot of that, then you might want to check this out. It's pretty bare at the moment. It's just been started, but will be something that we continue to look at. If you're interested in getting closer involvement with the Samba development, we have Bugzilla, which has lots of bugs in it, and lots of them simply need somebody to go in and say, there's not enough information here to do any work. Can you send us more information? Because what we find is that because there's a small number of developers, you can find a bug that was filed 3 months ago that doesn't have enough information to do anything, and so then you finally get to it and you say, you have to send me more information. It's another 30 days before they actually get you log files. So we could speed up that process. That would be helpful to us. Testing, there's always room for doing more testing of preview releases, of release candidate builds, things like that. Package maintenance. Currently, we don't have anybody that does package maintenance for Solaris, HPUX, or Irix. Although HPUX and Irix we could probably dig up somebody to cover. If you're interested in developing and maintaining packages for this, this is one thing that we're going to try to get settled out in the upcoming months as well. For the build farm, you can always participate as a build farm host, or if you want to look at helping out on the maintenance of the build farm as well, we will be more than happy to hook you up with Mr. Bartlett, who has apparently found that the fourth year of university is much harder than the first, and you don't have quite as much time as you used to. And of course, my attempt at humor again, the ability to innovate. There's a lot of things that, you know, people are interested in doing that we haven't thought about. So if you think you have a good idea, then, you know, we should definitely talk about it. Okay? And that finishes up. So does anybody have any questions or suggestions or anything that was not clear about what our plans are for the next 12, 24 months? Anybody? No? Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.
Really no questions? So we have a break. No one?
Could you give some more details about nested groups, how they work?
So the question was about how Windows nested groups work, or how Samba will implement them, or both. How Samba will implement them. Volker, are you going to talk about this later, or should I go ahead and? Okay. So essentially, the idea is that in order to get Windows nested groups, you will have to run WinBind. And what WinBind will do is WinBind will maintain, you will have a mapping of that local group, that alias, onto a Unix group. And then WinBind will actually maintain a list of SIDs that are members of that group. Okay? Now, obviously a SID can either be a user or a group. And so by maintaining the list of SIDs, we don't have to resolve those immediately. And once the NSS, once we get a request through NSS to have the members of that group, then WinBind will unroll that group for you automatically. It will go through that list of SIDs, and it will, if there are any users, it will look up that UID. And if there's any groups, then it will actually unroll those and expand the members of that and feed that back through NSS. So from a Unix perspective of doing get group nam, right, where you get the group membership back, it would just be a single level list of users. WinBind will actually be required to maintain that list of SID membership in the group and then unroll that for you automatically. If you don't run WinBind, then nothing changes. You don't get them. And that's sort of the idea. It's a fairly small patch. It will be included in 303, but it will not be enabled by default. Okay, so it will, you know, we'll continue to do testing. Volker's testing has been fairly positive. And so any feedback, you know, during this month while we're getting it integrated. It should be integrated by the end of the week. And you can test it. There will be another preview release next week. So, question? Okay, so the question was, how do you get around the Unix limitation of ngroups max, whether it's 32 or 16? If you're on Linux, you can actually patch glibc. Tridge has done a patch for that is available in Tridge, it's at http://samba.org/tridge/. Okay. So the bottom line is that without doing these patches, we're just limited by the operating system, and Samba can't really get around that. But in the future, it will be taken care of on Linux, not on Solaris, obviously. Other questions?
Do you think it would speed up development if one would be able to write core Samba functionality in a scripting language for prototyping?
Yeah, so...
Perl is allowed too, if you want.
Well, it would be easy to port to Windows if you actually could write Samba in Python, I guess. I don't know if it would really speed up development work or not. I think that being able to write the tests, so what we have is we have a Python directory that's included in Samba 3 now, and it was work that was done by Tim Potter and Martin Poole, and it's the idea of creating bindings, Python bindings to a lot of the Samba client code. Now, if you run on the assumption that the client code is correct, then it's very easy to write unit tests for server functionality using those. So I think that the real benefit is being able to write tests quickly, which historically, Samba developers, at least on the core team, other than Tridge, are not great about writing regression tests for new code that's put in. So I think anything that would help us to write tests better is probably going to help speed up development in the sense that we don't end up having to fix regressions, but I can't see doing that in the server. Tridge.
Thank you.
not being as much work as you might think when Tridge says that, then...
Maybe one should set up a Samba University program, so you just propose that, and then all we are looking for professors and students doing that.
Dissertations.
Yeah. One last question, then we have a break until 3 o'clock. I think you're not loud enough.
Who is currently involved in the Sangria project?
Who's involved in Sangria?
I know about Tim.
It's basically me and Anthony Allegory. The only reason why it was put up as a CBS module was so that Anthony could essentially get to it, and we could. It's under the guise of the Samba project, so it's part of Samba, but it's a separate release schedule or whatever. The only thing that essentially exists in Sangria right now is a SMB.conf class. It's a parsing class for SMB.conf that doesn't destroy comments and maintains order and things like that. So the idea would be that we continue to build this framework where you can write your own scripts for, you know, I want to be a domain member. Give me the name of the domain to which I should join. Here's my name. And it would do everything for you and generate the smb.conf. That's the idea behind it.
Only for the break, the Bash man page is 5,000 lines. SMBconf man page is 9,000 lines.
There we go.
Okay, see you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks again.